Sam's not here, so I feel like I should ramble on about something in honor of him.
You have to do that after the intro.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Well, you can, either way.
You have to. We have to do the intro, and then you have to go.
Oh, I got the story. Yes. Because he's got something. He's got something in the queue.
Yeah. Just
ready to go. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Austin.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
And we have the Backseat Producers. Welcome, Austin. Who are you? Why are you in my house?
Because my cousin brought me, and I thought it'd be fun.
And your cousin is?
Kayla.
Kayla.
That's me.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I technically brought him. Like, I drove the car.
In whose car?
I mean, it was your car.
Mm.
But
getting a little pissing contest going here. Got a sword
curious,
fight going.
Curious, sir. Austin just moved here from Reno.
Yes.
Nevada.
Did you shoot a man there just to watch him die?
Yeah, he had to.
Sorry, I have to.
He had to get out.
Had to drop that one once.
And Austin we'll let actually that one go. Worked in a movie theater.
Oh, bonus.
I did, yeah.
Excellent.
So we've seen movies.
Well, that's not confirmed.
Allegedly.
Worked around movies.
Yeah.
You worked in the movie industry. We're going to go with that. Not inaccurate. All right, well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So we were commiserating about things to talk about other than the movie before we started, and I just have to say that I got two things to talk about. One, I 100%ed the fuck out of Arkham Knight. I solved every one of those goddamn Riddler puzzles. That happened. All 243 of them, fuckers.
Shit. Why?
Because I wanted the secret ending. And I got it. And then I started a new game plus and played for about 20 minutes. And I was like, I already did this. It was easier the last time, but I think I'm done for a while. So kind of put it away. But
was that ending scene worth it?
I liked being able to say I was complete. I completed the first one. I did 100% Arkham. What was it? It was Arkham Asylum. I 100%ed that one. Then I got to Arkham City and saw there was, like, I don't know, some ridiculous number of Riddler puzzles. I was like, I. By the time I beat the game, because it was a longer game, and by the time I beat that, I was like, I'm out. I'm done. And Origins was okay. It was a different developer, and it wasn't quite as good. But I got into this one, and I don't buy many games, like, day one. And I got this one day one, so I was committed to it. But I had a good time with it. It was good stuff. And the DLC so far is pretty decent.
I don't even think I 100%ed Fallout New Vegas. Like, there was just some...
How do you 100% Fallout New Vegas?
Like, you have to play multiple times, but, like, there were some things I just didn't want to do. Mainly all of Caesar's quests. It's so hard for me to play that guy.
Because he's a bad man.
Yeah. Crucifixion's kind of like crossing a line. I don't know where my line is, but it's before crucifixion.
That's fair.
So the other thing is we've started taking donations for Sausage Fest now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So the website is sausagefeststl.com. Come visit the site, see what we do, donate. This will be Sausage Fest 6 this year. If you are in the St. Louis area, we will be at Archon through the weekend, but the event is Saturday night. That would be October 3rd, 10 o'clock. We'll be there till about 3-ish.
We're
serving drinks and sausage.
And sausage, yeah.
We
are the food game in town for that, because everybody else is just serving booze and get people drunk. We try to help even them out. We get them a little protein in their system.
We'll hopefully be raffling off one or two original art pieces as well.
Maybe.
Sweet. We're looking at doing something different. Everything's. Yeah. I think this is going to be a different Sausage Fest for a number of reasons. But like for a while, we thought we weren't going to have Artemis there, but now
he just confirmed.
He's confirming that he probably will make it, which is it's big because he's our bartender.
That's good because. In the chat, everyone was like, I don't know how, but
I know
we'll pour some alcohol in people's cups.
Yeah,
I can only picture him as a white cat with a crescent moon on his forehead.
I
don't want this illusion to be broken.
Hopefully he'll wear his pirate costume again.
Oh, yeah.
Artemis is a character. He's a great guy. I love having him around. He's a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll probably be talking about Sausage Fest a lot more between now and October.
Yeah. Yeah, I also need to be motivated and try to design a new Sausage Fest site. Maybe it'll be up by the time you hear this.
Maybe. Wow.
It might be.
I will be on vacation all week next week, though. So don't release this next week.
It's going out on Monday.
Tick.
Tick tock. Or next Monday, depending on how that goes.
Well.
All right, so anything else before we dive in to the movie?
I'm a little pissed off at a Ford dealership.
Uh-oh.
So let's bring that up. So we were searching for cars for Austin.
Yes.
Don't name names.
I don't remember the dealership's name.
Fair enough.
But fuck them anyway. I remember that they are in... fuck, what was the name of that city?
I'm not going to tell you. Ah! Is it
Moscow Hills, Missouri? Some shit like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And they advertise this car as, you know, everything works. It was just an old Ford Escort. And they're like, oh, everything works. It's super cheap. You know, it's got a lot of miles on it.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's sporty and hot.
Yeah.
Cool and hot?
Yeah.
Make up your mind.
By cool, they meant it was a ZX2. By hot, I think they meant that the air conditioning didn't fucking work. And they didn't tell us until we drove out there and started to take it for a test drive on a 95-degree day.
We brought it back. We're like, hey, guy.
Hey, buddy.
The AC's not working. It was working yesterday when I moved it over here. Like, yeah, it sure was, wasn't it?
So then we left, and then we bought the car that we looked at before that.
So, 95 Volkswagen Passat.
Yeah. Don't make me drive 30 miles to get to you if the air conditioning doesn't work. Like, put that in the ad or tell me on the phone. Like, don't be a dick. So now I'm going to make it a point not to ever deal with that dealership again.
You don't even remember their name.
I don't, but I just won't go to that town.
Fuck them. Fuck that whole town.
It was on some road called John Deere Drive or some shit like that. That's easy to remember.
That should have been our first clue.
Yeah, don't go there.
It was a shithole.
So far away and so hot.
Speaking of Missouri and cars, I saw the red light thing was...
I'm so fucking...
That was so good.
I'm so happy because it's been ruled illegal at like every level of the courts, and the state appealed it all the way up to the Supreme Court of Missouri, and that's confirmed that red light cameras are illegal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And that will probably also set precedent for the speed cameras.
Do you think they're going to finally take them all down?
I don't know if they'll finally take them all down. I have no idea. I mean, it's complete bullshit.
Will they take them to the Supreme Court and have them be like, now what are you guys doing?
They're not going
to
take them down. Now they're just using them for surveillance.
Yeah. But, you know, they always quote the same bullshit, like, oh, these cameras are used to reduce accidents and all this stuff. Except if you look at the numbers are the opposite. Red light cameras increase accidents because now people slam on the brakes to prevent getting a red light camera ticket instead of just going through it safely.
And how distracting is that flash?
Oh,
I know. Every time,
like, what
I
did
get,
I do wrong?
Like, what? Was that me? Like, I don't see anyone else.
Stop! Why is that? There's nobody else at this intersection. Yeah. Why did it go off?
Yeah, it just like temporarily ruins your night vision. You're like, oh, fuck! What? What did I do?
Yeah.
Just throw a flashbang at you.
Yeah.
Well, it is St. Louis and the way things have been going recently.
That's another fucking thing. Did you hear that they issued arrest warrants for all of the people that were arrested illegally in the protests a year ago?
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking
about?
No. The two reporters, so there were two reporters for the Washington Post who now have been arrested because they were typing on their laptops in McDonald's, and the police kicked them out of McDonald's and they didn't move fast enough, even though the police slammed their head into the wall and stuff. Those two got arrested, and hundreds of protesters are now being arrested for nothing. They're literally being arrested for nothing. They were arrested before and released without charges, and now they're being arrested again a fucking year later. What the fuck, St. Louis County?
What in the world is going on?
Like, what? Who is making these decisions?
That's
so
weird.
So fucking dumb.
That's really strange.
I didn't think I had anything to talk about. I could rage about this for hours.
Let's not.
We'll just whittle that fan base down a little more.
Alex Rants, the podcast. So The last episode we released was the one that was like almost 2 hours long, where the last 20 minutes of it was us talking about grocery stores. Two separate and independent comments. Hey, Tony, I listened all the way to the end.
I saw that somebody posted on your Facebook. I saw the St. Louis grocery scene.
That was rich. And then Rob Hall also separately said something to me about it. But it's true. The grocery scene in the 80s was completely different. It was wild and crazy. Kroger and National and all these other ones that we just don't even have anymore. They got ran out of town.
You know, on grocery stores, a new one opened up near us. It's got a really weird name.
The Fresh Market?
The Fresh Market.
The Fresh Market. We have Fresh Time over by us now.
I don't know what the Fresh Market is. I still haven't gone in there. It looks fancy. It's probably like a more expensive Whole Foods.
More expensive?
Whoa. Yeah.
Like instead of $6 bread, maybe it's like $10 bread.
I think it's less expensive than Whole Foods, more expensive than Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
I think it's like the middle.
Trader Joe's is weird to me.
Yeah. It is weird. It's very weird.
Like it's... I don't understand it.
Trader Joe's
Do I have to be more hip to get it? I think that might be it.
Yeah, there's like some things in Trader Joe's that I love. Like they have these turkey corn dogs.
Those are good.
So good.
That sounds good.
They also have these little packages of chili mangoes.
Oh yeah.
So good.
And
like dried up mangoes. Chili batter on them.
And they've got milk that I love. Like I don't like regular milk. I really like almond milk. Trader Joe's almond milk is like half the price of Deerberg's almond milk, and it's the same fucking brand.
What are you talking about?
What?
We didn't buy Trader Joe's almond milk.
No, but it's the same brand. I can't remember the brand of it, but the brand at Trader Joe's.
Oh, you mean
it's just less expensive.
Yeah,
it's half the price as the one at Deerberg's. And they also have that cereal, it's like puffin peanut butter.
Barbara's.
Yeah, that's so good. Peanut butter cereal is delicious. And I don't feel...
Alex is trying to come down from Captain Crunch.
Oh, Captain.
Does he have an addiction?
He's got a problem.
It's been years.
Captain Crunch's peanut butter crunch.
He's got a little bit of Captain in him.
He does.
It's been years since I've had Captain Crunch.
You like those crunch berries?
He's
got the crunch berries.
Have you ever seen, every year they come out with the 10 worst cereals list, like least nutritional value?
Oh.
Captain Crunch is like fucking 7 of the top 10.
Like deservedly.
It is, like every different version is worse.
But they're so good.
It's so delicious. But that
the peanut butter
is puffing.
Peanut butter Captain Crunch?
Yeah, that's Alex's jam.
That's my shit. When I was a kid, I used to like crunch that up and sprinkle it on toast.
So when the Backseat Producers ends, Backseat cereal.
Backseat cereal.
You know what? Every week it'll be.
It's pretty fucking good.
Slurping and crunching. This is pretty fucking good. Oh, goddamn red lights. Just ranting about different shit while eating cereal. I'm in.
I can work this out. We can start up a second podcast. We'll get some money under the table from like Kellogg's and General Mills. This will work.
You can do this.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Fuck yeah. That's like when Penny Arcade, like when Nintendo sent Penny Arcade a free DS, Penny Arcade made a comic about it. Like, hey, next time just send us $150. Like, yeah. You know, you're trying to bribe us. Just go all the way.
Yeah.
I wish we were big enough to get bribes.
I actually used to get a couple of DVDs around here from like that we reviewed.
I mean, sending us a DVD to review, I don't think is bribery.
No, it's not. It's not. And actually, they actually changed the rules about it a couple of years ago because so many apparently there were problems with people just saying they were sending out so many review copies to bloggers and stuff. And the bloggers were giving these people glowing reviews because they were just getting free shit.
Yeah.
So the more glowing reviews they gave, the more free shit they got. Well, it got to a point where it was like, hey, you need to tell people when you're getting free shit for your reviews.
Yeah.
So it's actually part of the review policy now. Like, I can't remember who exactly enforces it. Maybe the FTC or FCC because it's a communication issue. But if you're a podcast or a blogger and you review something you were given a free copy of, then you have to say it. And in some way, you have to say, we were given review copies of this.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair. I'm like, hey, somebody gave me a free movie. Yeah. Man, this movie sucked, but it was free.
If anybody wants it,
I've done that before.
Send a self-stamped envelope to.
We have given out some review copies of stuff before. I had this one deal, and it was like out of the blue. Somebody was like, "Hey, I'm working with Netflix, and we have these cards that we can send out to people, and it gives them like 6 months free." It's like, wow, okay. How many can we give out? Like 4 or 5? And they're like, you can give out like 40 of them. It's like the most people ever responded to a contest we've done before that was like 7. It's like, so I started going out to people. It was like, hey, we're giving out this many copies. If you sign up right now and get 23 other people to sign up, I can guarantee if nobody else signs up after that, you'll get a free one. It was bad. Like to the point where it was like, I had to contact people and it's like, hey, go sign up for this right now because I have like an hour before I have to send the list in and I'm 5 short. But because we hosted it, like me and a couple other people, we actually got like 18 months free Netflix out of it. It's like, that's pretty sweet. I keep trying to get that deal again, but
I was gonna say it's not like we're sponsored by Netflix, but apparently Tony is.
Was.
Was.
This podcast has been going a while. That was a while ago. Yeah, I pay for it now.
Yeah, I do too, but that's because Charter sucks.
Like, yeah.
I could spend $150 a month or 2 shows that I want to watch.
Ugh. All right, so let's talk about this movie.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was called.
Austin, what'd you think?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, it's too honest.
The
let's
bus.
Try this again.
You've been thrown under it.
That bus, though.
Alex, what'd you think?
I liked it. I was kind of confused by it, but I liked it.
It's because it was a girl's emotions. Oh, shit. Oh, God, there was a bug on me.
What the hell?
Oh, we're having a bug emergency.
Where'd it go?
What the hell happened?
There was a bug on my leg. I'm okay.
You're fine.
Am I?
Get back in the game.
All that's staying in.
So, Kayla, what did you think of this movie?
I liked it a lot. I was surprised at how much I liked it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Tony?
I liked it a lot. Pixar makes a good movie.
They do.
I really enjoyed it. There's a lot that I liked about it. There was the detail that they put into it, like they put into most of their stuff, was just solid throughout.
I was thinking, if I had children, it would definitely be a movie that I would, want them to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we saw it as a family.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, and the thing, you know, we kind of had a little discussion about it after the movie, because how they present emotions and like the big conceit of it is, this is a movie about the emotions of one person, and we get to see inside her emotional construct and like the world that is built around her emotions. And how her emotions affect her. The device they use is they have this table, this console that they use. And at the beginning of the movie, it's really subtle because they don't point it out until later. And you get it. Like, if you were paying attention, you saw it the whole time. But Riley, the main character of this movie, there's only one place at the console. Only one emotion can be in charge at a time.
Right.
Yet, with the adults, there's a much bigger console. They're all sitting there. They're all engaged. They're all working. With children, it's an emotion or another emotion. It's, I'm having a great time, or fuck you. I mean, it's that way. It turns on and off, and it's, you know, I'm really happy, or I'm really sad, or I'm scared, or, you know, it cycles through those emotions, where with an adult, it's more subtle and layered, and you have multiple emotions at play at once. And I liked how they did that and how they showed it. Another thing that I liked is how when they showed, because at different times in the movie, and they show this in the trailer, where you see inside the emotional constructs of other people, specifically her mom and dad through the first part of it. And they use that really effectively as a way to give you exposition about how this is going to work without telling you this is how it's going to work by showing how the emotions of three different people play off of each other. What I thought was clever, and I pointed it out to Julie, and she didn't even notice when we watched it, was that the lead emotion, so for Riley, the lead emotion was joy. She was in charge. Joy was in charge. For Dad, it was anger.
I noticed this,
and
too.
For Mom, it was sadness.
Yeah.
Which is like, I want to know why.
Yeah.
I want to know why.
As soon as I saw that,
sadness.
I was like, that like touched me.
Like, yeah, it's like, because it's like inherently they're not sad people or angry people. I mean, Dad's got a little bit of a temper sometimes, but Mom never seems sad.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, what makes that her primary emotion? It's just, you know, it's all of a sudden there's this whole backstory that is not at all there. But man, I want to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
The parents' emotions kind of felt weird to me because, like, Dad's primary emotion was anger, right? And it was in charge. But it was weird to me that the other three emotions also seemed to have anger as their dominant personality. Like, fear was like, the foot is going down! The foot is going... Like, it wasn't fear, it was...
And I think it's because that was the dominant emotion. Yeah. Where with Riley, it was joy.
Well, but...
And inherently, the other ones wanted joy to be in charge.
Yeah, but...
Even fear and anger. Why would fear and anger want joy to be out front? There should have been more conflict, but there wasn't.
Yeah,
they were all in agreement that joy, like, needs to be there. And she needs to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you're right. Them being an emotion, they would be like, well, my state is what is necessary. You know, my state should obviously be the one in charge.
Right.
You'd think that they'd be having that thought process.
But it wasn't... That would have just muddied up the whole story.
Right.
Yeah.
The casting on this was great, I thought. Oh, I thought Amy Poehler was just perfect for the role of Joy.
Yep. And
all I could hear is Leslie Knope.
And that's fine.
Leslie Knope is basically Joy.
She is basically Joy personified. And she is that character. Lewis Black as Anger was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Hearing Lewis Black's voice come in put a smile on my face instantly. I was ready for this to be a much more adult movie at that point. Like, I want that movie now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they've already announced that there will be... They haven't announced what movie's going to be in front of, but they've already announced that there will be... How Pixar has the little mini-movies before the movie,
mm-hmm.
There's going to be one about Riley's first date.
I saw that.
Yeah. So that... Yeah, I mean, you just hear it, it's like, okay... That writes itself. That's going to be great.
I saw that, which makes me happy because the short that we got before this one was Lava?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
I liked that one.
That disappointed me. I was
really?
Like, oh, yeah.
I couldn't have been disappointed because I wasn't.
I was just smiling. I was just smiling through the whole thing.
It was just an extra thing. So. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I was ready for this short, but...
I forgot that Pixar did that.
Yeah. What confused me about this movie was I was constantly trying to figure out, like... Like, they shifted between different age groups for their audience regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And after the movie, I was trying to think of what age group they were targeting.
Well, any good animated movie has to do that. Because they're obviously targeted towards children, but you know that parents have to go watch these movies with their children. So any good animated movie is going to have something in there that parents can
And I think what Pixar has done very well... throughout their run is I think they've made a conscious choice not to market directly to children in any of their movies. I think the exception to that is probably Cars 2, because that was, and they say they won't just do a money grab. That movie was totally a money grab. The first movie was not very good, but it made them a ton of money, especially in merchandising. And they had much better movies they could have made second movies out of.
You don't think Airplanes was also?
Oh, yeah. The Cars 2 and their sequel. The sequels beyond Cars were. But, I mean, because they... Jesus, I can't tell you how many of those stupid freaking cars we had.
Yeah.
I mean, just... Because it got to the point where Holden was like 3. He could give a shit how many of them he had. Julie was collecting them. She was like, oh, he doesn't have this one and he doesn't have this variant of this. what are you doing? How many goddamn cars does he need?
Don't open them. Leave them in the packaging.
We didn't go there.
No, but what I was struggling with was it seemed to be geared towards like 11 to 12 year old demographic based on the social issues that Riley was going through. But I didn't think that the 11 and 12 year olds would be very interested in seeing the movie. I mean, the movie's obviously successful, so I'm wrong.
Holden was in. Yeah. Holden was all in. Yeah. I mean, the main character was a girl too.
Yeah.
You know, Holden was all in for the movie. And I'm going to try and record an episode with the kids to get their thoughts on it because maybe he'll have something different to say about it now. Because it's been a while. We saw it during its first run, like opening weekend, I think we saw it. So it's been a while since we've seen it.
We saw it a week ago, right?
Last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron was fully into it. And Julie and I were completely engaged with it. I thought they did a great job of giving parents something to watch and say, Yeah, that's totally how it works.
Yeah.
I loved the way they also not only played with emotions, but with memories. The memory stuff they did, it was just, I thought that was brilliant. Where they kept throwing in the gum jingle. It was like Jesus, it's so perfect.
I really like that because I think everybody can relate to that. How that one stupid memory keeps coming in. And sometimes it's something completely pointless, like the gum jingle. And other times you're sitting there at work and you're like, fuck, why am I remembering this horrible thing that happened to me for no reason right now?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I thought they dealt with that really well. And they gave it, they gave a purpose behind it. In this world that they've built, it made sense why it happens.
Yeah.
Why it happens to us in this way.
Right.
It kind of explained it. It's like, oh, these are useless memories. We don't. Yeah, the presidents. Yeah, we'll get rid. Just keep the fat one and.
Yeah, Abraham Washington.
Lincoln Washington and the fat one. I'm like Taft.
Yeah,
they didn't name it. They just said the fat one, and my head immediately went, "That's Taft." Yeah. That was so good.
That was really good.
Got stuck in a bathtub. That's you will always be remembered for that. I did like a lot of the subtle touches that they did. Talking about the memories, the way they were shaped, it was shaped like the folds in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little little touch. I liked how all the different emotions would like talk things out because, sing the nerd shit, there's... Give my intro, come on. No,
we're just going to play that during the intro.
You like your brain, like it's a democratic process. Like whenever you are trying to decide on something, like that's evaluated in several different parts of your brain and they come to a consensus. Mm-hmm. So like whenever you feel torn on something, different parts of your brain are literally torn on that thing. Like they're trying to decide one way or the other, you know, like stuff like that was really appealing to me.
I thought it was interesting also how, they showed how she has all these joyful memories, but then sadness can come in and, she touches these and it becomes a sad memory where it wouldn't make sense. Like, it makes sense to us as adults. You know, we understand that memories that were once like happy and joyful, how, they can bring you sadness. But I thought how they showed that in the movie was really good.
Yeah,
that was really good.
And now sadness is like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I feel compelled to touch these core memories.
Mad Max, though.
I feel like if when joy and sadness got sucked through and then Riley's brain was Fury Road, that would have made sense, too.
Yeah.
Riley was furious.
This is
just a prequel.
Oh, that makes total sense.
This is pre-apocalypse.
Oh my god. Sorry. Speaking of Mad Max, there's a video on YouTube. Just search for Mad Max Paintball. Have you guys seen this yet?
Is that the one with the go-karts?
Yeah, there's a guy. There's like go-karts and like regular sized trucks and like side-by-sides. And it's just like a whole Mad Max scene reenacted. It's fucking glorious.
Not to pull us away from Mad Max, but I really liked how they showed Riley as like an adolescent girl who wasn't, and I think we as a society are obviously moving away from this, but you know, she has all these interests that aren't necessarily
girly.
Like, she's really into hockey, and like that's not even, that isn't even something that's an issue or discussed, you know, it just is. It
that's
just
where
is like
she
a,
was from.
Right.
It was a place where hockey is.
Well, even when she moves to San Francisco, you know, they're just like, oh,
we found a league for you.
Yeah.
Great.
I think that's great. And I think that showing stuff like that in movies, especially movies that we know kids are going to watch, is A+.
Yeah. And it's good. I think it's good for Erin to see those kind of things, because for her, it's like she'll flat out tell you that she doesn't feel weird about wanting to, you know, she's out there digging in the, you know, we're every morning
and
we
farting.
Walk to school and farting. Yeah. She's very proud. She's very proud of her farts. Every morning we walk around the block to walk to the bus stop instead of just walking straight there, just to get a little extra walking time, a little talking time. And like the other morning, it was just after, it was super humid, so there were worms, and they were dried up. And she's like, oh, you know, she was feeling bad for him. Then there was cicadas. She's like, I know, no, I'm not getting near that. And that freaks me out, because it was a live cicada, but it was upside down. And she's like, we need to help it. And she's like down there poking at it. It's like the day before, like the day of their first day of school, we're out in front, and there's a cicada shell on the tree. Nope. She's out. She's like, no, it's a shell. They creep me out. But the live cicada that's on its back, buzzing around and flopping around, she's like trying to flip it over with her hand. But yeah, she's all about math and building things, you know.
Good.
She was, Julie had to fill out a survey for school. And it was like, what are your favorite things to do? Well, I like coloring, and I like this, and I like building. She's like, well, what do you mean? Do you mean playing with stuff? And she's like, no, just put building. She likes, because she does, and she'll like build stuff with her Legos or build stuff with blocks, and she'll just build things. It's like, good, do that, you know.
Probably be an engineer.
Yeah, she might be. She's really solid at math. Yeah. So, and she likes it. She loves it. So I'm encouraging that heavily.
Good. I hear so many horror stories. There's so few girls in computer science classes, and it's because
in the STEM field.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's all related to this, but like in some computer science classes, like the male professors just like don't think the girls are cut out for it, and they like it's just terrible.
And that's the stupidest thing.
Yeah. Like I luckily,
I mean, almost at it's getting better for girls, and that's
it
why
is. It's
I
getting
think
better,
movies
but
like this are really important.
Yeah.
But it starts on every level, at least for my generation. It, you know, it was always discouraging, and you know, you're always told like, you're a girl, so you're just not going to be as good at it. So
like,
and you're, you know, the toys that you're given, like they're all carving a path for you. So
that's like, I fully supported Goldilocks when they were doing their when they first started, and it was like, yeah, we're totally getting Erin on board on this. But right now, we've looked at a few of their things, and it's
they didn't
what
quite
they have
fulfill
right now,
their promise.
Yeah, they haven't really come through. They have some interesting things, but it's not
the execution was off. I felt.
I think you're right. And Erin just hasn't been compelled to pick them up. Now Legos, she loves playing with Legos, and the nice thing is you know, she loves her Disney princesses. Well, they've got Lego Disney princess stuff, so she gets those sets and she builds them the one time. And then the book gets pitched, thing comes apart, and she starts building other stuff with it.
And that's important, too, is, like, they need to know that it's also okay to like playing dress-up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that isn't something that is lesser.
Yeah.
It's something different.
It's just something. It's just a thing.
I mean, you know, and, you know, to say that, oh, the girls are going to go play dress-up and the boys are going to do this. Yeah, you know what? That's kind of bullshit, because Holden and his buddies, they get their guns and their helmets and their Hulk gloves and their Wolverine claws, and they go outside and they're playing and goofing around and roughhousing. It's dress-up.
It's dress-up.
Let's call it what it is. It's totally dress-up. You're dressing up and you're playing make-believe.
Also, I would much rather reenact, like, I don't know, any drag movie than the Avengers. So, Like, before you see me in a Hulk outfit or Captain America, I'll be in drag.
So what are you cosplaying at Arcon then?
Well,
he's Furiosa.
I'm going to be the angel girl. You would make front.
You're stealing Melina's angel costume. She keeps saying that the angel, there's going to be something off with the angel. I think we'll figure it out.
It's Alex.
That would be different.
Yeah.
I might stare at your chest, though, the whole time I'm talking to you.
I don't have a chest.
It's
going to be weird.
It is so hard to talk to her when she's wearing that angel costume. Melina. I'm staring you in the eye because no one else at this con is doing that right now.
What are we talking about? Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Austin, help me out here.
With what?
I liked the end when they took things a little bit off the rails, and we started jumping around to all the different people we saw emotions in. I think everybody in the theater laughed out loud with the bus driver.
Yeah, but they're all
angry and they're all just mad.
I like the teacher. She puts on the memory of the same Brazilian guy that the mom was thinking.
Yep. That was good.
I like that. That was a good touch.
And I like it when the mom's emotions throw away that memory, and I don't remember which one picks it up and is like,
it was fear.
Eh, maybe.
It was fear. It was fear. Yeah. I remember that because I was like, it made sense that fear would be the one to keep that.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like everything they did was very well thought out in figuring out which of each of these five emotions would be in charge of doing the thing that they did. I thought that was really cool how just well done it was.
I thought that the whole thing was great to represent this obviously huge change for Riley. Not just, you know, all the changes she's going through, but emotionally she's maturing, which we see physically at the end when she gets the upgraded console. But, you know, as they're going through, they meet her imaginary friend. They're going through Imagination Land. Even parts of Imagination Land are being deconstructed. Nobody understands what's going on. And then in order for Joy to escape the, I don't remember what the pit was called.
The dump.
Her imaginary friend, which can represent,
That was awesome.
Yeah, that they have to sacrifice the imaginary friend in order for Joy to escape and, you know, to continue the movie.
And I liked how they even threw the little boy band crush thing in there. That was good. It was cool and appropriate.
You guys are too fucking smart. I didn't even put that together. Sacrificing the child memory.
No, it was. It's all there.
Yeah,
it's all there.
It's really good.
Every time we talk about a movie, I realize I don't know shit.
And I forgot that one of the biggest lessons in the movie is that joy isn't a state that you can always be in. It's not sustainable, and that the other emotions have their place, specifically sadness in this instance. Like, you can't, it has its purpose.
Right.
Which is something I think a lot of people I know my age are having to deal with, realizing that you can't be, it's not like you're not searching to always be in a state of happiness. Like, you have to learn to fluctuate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to learn to accept that you are going to have other emotions. You can't be 100% happy all the time. That's not how it works.
And not even in a just, you have to have bad times so you appreciate the good times. Like, it's like there's more to it than even just that.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the trivia, and according to Lewis Black, when Pixar pitched the film to him, he received a box of previous Pixar films and a letter that suggested, quote, that I may not know who Pixar is, which meant they thought I was either, which that they were either crazy or they thought I was some sort of recluse. Pete Docter, who wrote and directed this one, said that each emotion was based on a shape. Joy is a star. Sadness is a teardrop. Anger is a firebrick. Fear is a raw nerve. And disgust is broccoli.
I forgot about disgust even being in there. She had such a minor role.
No, she didn't. She was all over there.
She was there in the beginning. Like, what is that? That's not food. Abort.
But like, I don't remember. She had a role just as much as the other three emotions.
Fear and anger.
Yeah.
I think fear and anger had a bigger role in that, in the running away and everything. I didn't even remember disgust was in it. Wait, why is broccoli disgusting?
Because it is, Alex.
No, it's not.
Well, broccoli, that's what Pete Doctor says. He says I like broccoli. Like, but they just use that as a shape. Because a lot of people think it is.
I'll eat it raw. I'll eat it in stir fry. I'll eat broccoli all day.
The dinner scene where Riley's mom tries to get her own husband's attention came from Pete Doctor's own experience.
Oh, that scene did drive me nuts a little bit. It seemed a little...
Cliched?
Yeah, cliched is a good word to put it.
Where they focus on the dad and he's got the basketball game. Or
hockey game.
Whatever sports.
He's playing some hockey game in his head, not paying attention to anything going on. And then he doesn't know what's going on. And then the mom immediately goes to, the Brazilian flight guy.
Yeah, that scene was pretty much exposition in a non-expositiony kind of way. They were showing you they were showing you how the emotions work by showing you three different people and showing how the emotions of each person were working and interacting. So we didn't have this one huge scene with Riley where they basically had to try to explain to us, now these are the different emotions and here's what they do and here's how they react and here's how they'll play with memories and stuff. I mean, it was a little bit, there were some gender-specific things going on, which the rest of the movie didn't do. Like, they did it just for that scene, and then they dropped it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just to get you into figuring out who the characters were. They just put them out there as like a touchstone where, okay, this is a disaffected dad. This is mom who's getting worked up about something that she feels dad should get worked up about, and he's just like trying to zone out after a day of work. And then now Riley's being a little brat.
Well, the other thing that bothered me about that scene is how quickly dad escalated. I didn't understand that. Maybe it's because I dislike it because my parents did that. It was like very fast escalation.
Escalation sometimes happens very fast.
Yeah.
I will admit that.
And I was like, so maybe I'm sensitive to, I don't know.
A lot of that can also, though, come from the history of if people aren't paying attention when you're talking to them, which he clearly wasn't.
Yeah.
With mom, which may be why sadness comes into it a little bit. I don't know. He's definitely got a basis of being angry, which is where he's got the, you know, his primary emotion is anger.
Yeah, but the weird thing is we didn't see that anywhere else in the movie. Like, we saw dad getting stressed out about work and having to do stuff, and we saw mom like getting kind of upset on the phone with the movers, but it was like,
I mean, maybe
but they're mature.
You're right, exactly.
As you mature, your emotions mature, and you don't just have the one. It's all five working together.
That's true.
Because
dad would
just be an abusive. Ball of rage. Yeah.
He would have been shown as like, it would have been a completely different movie.
He'd been
and
he would
mom
have been
would
the
have
bus
been
driver.
Mom would have just been crying. Like,
dad wouldn't have been there because mom would have been it'd have been a single mom.
Right. Yeah.
Totally different movie. She's moving to Frisco to get away from the abusive dad, getting out of the state. There's legal issues because she's taking the kid out of state. It's a completely different movie all of a sudden.
We could watch that. Pixar, make that movie. We got some pull, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the dreams. I thought that was fantastic. Not only how they showed, like, the creation of dreams, but the dream that they showed us.
That was pretty good.
It's all getting cut in half. So good.
It was good.
The movie star pony, or no.
The unicorn.
The movie star unicorn. Oh, that was good shit.
So, what else? I remember seeing this in a movie, and this reminds me of it. Whatever newspaper Anger is reading happens, the headline on the newspaper is what is happening immediately before it. Like, he's reading the inside of a newspaper.
And it's about Riley.
And it's about whatever's happening in the scene with Riley. So it was, that's it, young lady, no dessert. And he's holding a newspaper that the headline is no dessert. But he's inside the newspaper and he slaked it down. What? And it happens. It was one time was first day of school, and there was some other stuff where something happened immediately before in the scene that Riley had no control over, and it was on the headline of his paper, like newsflash. That I thought that was clever.
That was funny.
It's pretty good. He's got to get a tablet though. He gets those updates faster.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had the same.
Whenever Riley was upset, the camera was shaky. I didn't notice that.
I didn't notice that either.
Hmm. The naked dream was hilarious too. I still have naked dreams.
That's probably the same dream, isn't it?
Yeah,
it starts off because she's reliving her first day of school.
Oh yeah,
yep.
In the dream.
You look down and you have no pants on. And you're like, well, this is awkward. I liked Fear.
That was
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, who was in Trainwreck, which we just saw. He was the leading man in Trainwreck.
We should do Trainwreck.
That's a comedy. Oh, we can't know do what train we say wreck. About you comedies.
Know, we can. Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about that.
Austin's seen that movie.
I have seen.
You
that
have
movie.
Seen that.
I have.
Let's change gears and talk about Trainwreck for a few minutes.
Because
I have things that I can say about.
Who
that
liked
movie.
John Cena?
Oh my God!
The two best parts of that movie, by far, were John Cena and
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Yes.
Oh my God! They stole that movie. The two
they
of them
really did. They
completely stole that movie.
So John Cena and Dwayne Johnson have taught me that we need more pro wrestlers in movies.
Yeah.
Because they're fucking hilarious. And I think it's because they do all
I don't
they
think
do their
John's,
acting in the ring.
I don't think John Cena's a good actor. I think that this was the role that he needed to excel.
I think so. I think you're right. He didn't need much. But what he had... His comic timing was perfect. Was so good. And I don't know if he was coached or if that was just him, but whatever happened to make his comic timing so good in those scenes was just incredible.
You just look so good in those jeans. So hot. You look like a dude. Oh!
Yes!
I'm going to fill you up with protein.
Gotta hydrate, babe.
Turns around, he's got that hand towel on his junk.
The movie theater.
Oh,
when he's yelling at that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I do to assholes?
Fuck them.
Lick them.
Yep.
I will enter you.
What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yep.
He really wants to fuck you.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
God. And LeBron James.
So,
what'd she say? What'd she say?
Sexual intercourse. Just so loud in the cafe or whatever, wherever they were.
Fucking forgets his wallet. Fuck you!
Ugh. Did I just score on LeBron James? I'm done. I'm done with basketball forever.
Yep.
No penetration without representation.
Are you quoting Kanye to me? I just don't see how that applies to me.
Again, doesn't apply to me, more to you.
Yeah.
But thanks.
You know, that has got to be the best romantic comedy I've ever seen.
I cannot go there.
You know?
I had so many problems with this movie.
Oh, yeah?
I had a lot of problems with this
movie. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
One, Amy Schumer is a shitty actress.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was not good in this movie.
I don't like
Amy
Schumer.
Her acting.
I love Amy Schumer.
Her comedy is great. Her writing was great. Her acting was not good.
I didn't get that she was acting. It felt more like stand-up. Like delivery of stand-up lines.
Right. And that's... And it that bugged me. When other people around her were acting, when LeBron James and John Cena are better actors than you are, and you're the star of the movie, that's a problem. I mean, and that was a big problem I had with it.
See, maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm not good at telling acting, but I enjoyed it, but I didn't really... I don't recognize that many people, but most of the people in this movie I recognized, so like it wasn't possible for me to be like in the acting... like. Appreciating the acting, so I just enjoyed the comedy of it. Like, I can't watch LeBron James quote Kanye West and not understand what's happening. Although he was playing himself. I don't know.
just he was playing himself, but he was also playing where when they, I mean, they clearly reversed the genders of a romantic comic. That was clearly the conceit of the movie, where Bill Hader was what would have traditionally been the female role in a romantic comedy, and Amy Schumer was traditionally the male role in a romantic comedy, and LeBron James was the plucky girlfriend, and her friend was the other dude, his dude bro friend, mm-hmm. and the.
I'm going to call the police. This is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Amy. I think you dialed the wrong number. No, I meant to call you.
Is he sick?
The problems I had with it were, like, her story falls apart so quickly with any kind of poking holes in it. She says, and she comes off as not understanding sports, and she can't even name professional teams. She can't even name the professional team that her dad idolized all those years, and she was the, you know, his biggest fan, and she was the one who supported him, and she just can't understand sports people. But her dad is one of those people. It didn't, like, that whole that those yeah, that all those true. Little pieces that set up this story that she's trying to relate to him and can't relate to Bill Hader doesn't make any sense with her background. They just don't jive.
I mean, she did seem oddly close to her dad, but I didn't think it was that she was that close that she, like, enjoyed sports. I don't know. A lot of people in my family like sports, and I was never into it.
Well, I feel like with their relationship, her and her dad was like, she hated sports because of him, but she loved him so much that, you know, she still hung out with him.
Her relationship, but the way she treated sports to Bill Hader wasn't even a hatred, because she just, it was completely apathetic. She just didn't care.
Yeah.
She had no understanding, or it's almost like she had no background in understanding sports. And that doesn't make sense. If she was really hating it because she hated the things that her dad did, secretly or otherwise. I mean,
what? And the other thing is, like, I think the scene you're referring to, where you said she couldn't name one, was where he asked her what her favorite sports team was, right?
Right.
I mean, I can see that, but a lot of times, like, whenever you put somebody on the spot like that, you know, it's like the guy on Family Feud whose three-letter word was alligator, right? Like, people, like, they nailed freak it. Out.
Yeah. Whenever someone asks me my favorite band, you're like, who am I? Like, I don't know anything about myself anymore.
Yeah. Well, you're asking a question about me? Fuck, I have not studied this in school.
Yeah.
It didn't... I don't know, there was just... Some of that just didn't feel genuine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any romantic comedy with a story that stands up to scrutiny, right? Like,
my favorite is still definitely Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I'll let you borrow it. I own that. I think we own that one on DVD.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that one, but
it's Ryan Reynolds, and
he's in a lot of go movies.
On. Caleb again. This is already the best movie ever.
This one I actually like. It's they treat it like a mystery. He's telling his daughter how he met his wife. He and his wife are divorced.
Is this the How I Met Your Mother series?
No.
Because that's what it sounds like.
No, because it's only a two-hour-long movie.
Okay.
And basically, he's telling the story about these three different women that he met and knew and had romantic relationships with. And the story builds to her trying to figure out who the mom is. The girl's like, don't tell me. I want to figure this out. And so, like, so then the bulk of the movie is him relating all these stories and the girl trying to figure it out. And I don't want to spoil it if Kayla is in. Okay. The conclusion is the girl realizes that mom is not the one he really loved. The one that he was really in love with and was head over heels about was like this other woman. And she's like, well, you need to do something about it. Like, his daughter's like, you need to do something about that, like, now. It's like, yeah, I know you and mom aren't getting back together. Let's cut through all that bullshit. This is what you need. You know, you need somebody that this is the person you love. You have to at least try. And so it's completely different than the typical you know, boy and girl meet, somebody does something stupid, they break up, they get back together, everybody's happy. That happens through the course of it, but there's a whole lot more going on in that movie than just the typical romantic comedy trope.
We'll have to watch it. But I
definitely.
Trainwreck was still definitely my favorite romantic comedy, just because it was funny as hell.
And, I mean, like, I really want Amy Schumer to succeed because I think she's funny as shit.
Oh my god!
And but I think her talents lend themselves more to sketch comedy.
Yeah, because that's what some of the scenes felt like.
Yeah, they felt like skits. Like,
yeah, and if you watch, I watched like a blooper reel, which was really funny.
Oh,
and there was
a bunch of
like, you know, they improv a lot of the lines, so. But watching that, it was obvious that, you know, she's coming up with, like, you know, just lines, just like...
I'm sure Bill Hader is right there with her, too, because he's a good comedic.
He was on SNL, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if that Kanye West quote was in the script, or if that was just something that just LeBron started saying.
I don't know.
His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You won't see him on TV any given Sunday. Win the Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. I love that song. So as soon as he starts saying
and so
it,
he's
like,
saying it, I'm like, what is going on? Because I don't know any Kanye. So I know none of this. So I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And then he said, oh, are you quoting Kanye? And I was like, oh, I get it now.
I started recognizing it like on the second or third line because I don't really listen to Kanye West at all, but like that song is.
But I play that song
enough.
On repeat
yeah.
at home constantly because I love it.
I don't seek out Taylor Swift, but I know a lot of her music because it's on in the car all the time.
Yeah, hard not to.
Not in my car because that's mostly just podcasts.
Is it your own podcast? Because that's kind of weird.
I don't listen to my. I listen to the other. I listen to the backseat. Box office. I don't listen to ours.
You know, if you want to say something about Adam, it'll never hear. This is probably a pretty good place to do it.
That's true, because he doesn't
He'll
listen.
He'll never know. Austin, say something bad about Adam.
Your hair looks fake.
Whoa.
That's good.
Goes right for the low blow.
That's good stuff.
I apologize. I don't know who you are.
No. I can't top that.
I'm just picturing Donald Trump's hair on Adam now. It's good.
when they squint up their faces, there is a similarity there. Yeah. His scrutiny face?
Yeah.
I should just bust into his house and bleach his hair tonight.
Just have Melina do it.
She is right there. That would be easier.
Which one's more fun?
Doing it yourself? Yeah.
Path of least resistance.
So Trainwreck is pretty good. I mean, we can't do a full review on it, but I think that's one worth seeing.
I liked it.
Oh, what do you think, Tony? You think it's worth seeing after you didn't
I would,
the acting?
I wouldn't go to a theater and see it. I wouldn't pay theater prices to see it.
So you'd probably like Redbox it.
I'd Redbox it or watch it on Netflix. I mean,
I laughed
it was
the entire movie, regardless of if I didn't feel any humor.
And see,
was
I didn't.
Up to snuff.
I didn't laugh through the whole thing. The Judd Cena and LeBron James scenes are worth even a digital rental. they're worth that because those scenes were gold. Or even the cheap theater, you know, the second run theater. I would do
a
that.
A matinee.
Matinee yeah. price. Yeah, matinee price probably.
What's
pulling out industry terms.
Hey, so we get an insider.
I worked in the industry, guys. I actually saw it for free because I did watch. I mean, because I did work in the industry. So
well, there
cool.
you go.
Yeah. So get a job at a movie theater.
I mean,
it's worth it.
It's worth it.
If you like movies, yes. I mean, it's minimum wage, but...
But you get to watch movies, though.
The only thing missing from Trainwreck was a series of overpowered giant cars, a big set of drums, and a guitar just following her around. For me,
okay,
that would have been...
But I gotta tell you, the dancing at the end was that I...
You know that
was
Amy
crying.
Schumer trying so hard to...
Yeah, I feel like she really was just exhausted from doing those takes.
You I almost feel like she probably went and did like half an hour with these girls, and that's it. Yeah. Like she just hung out with them for a half an hour, you know, gave them all some wine. They did their thing twice, and then she's like, "All right, let's do this."
The trampoline was so good too. Most people go up. You went down. Hard.
I like how she, pretty much every move they did, she was doing, but like 1/3 speed.
Yeah, not
a few seconds behind. Yeah. I loved it when they were pointing at her slowly and she's like, oh, right, that's this part.
Or they get in the circle and they're all doing those high, like, you know, vertical kicks and she's just like, not even 90 degrees.
What's funny though is I felt for her because I was like, if I was in that position, that's about all I could get out of a kick. Like,
But I think that was the payoff for the movie, was that scene, you know, her putting herself out there and trying. That was, I really liked that.
Did they mention the time period they were broken up, like how long it was? I don't know if
weeks?
I caught that.
It was a while.
I don't know.
It seemed to be a while.
I think it was a few weeks. Because the surgery was originally scheduled immediately after the breakup, and they postponed it for 2 weeks or 1 or 2 weeks. I can't remember which.
Something like that. But then he went through all the recovery.
Oh yeah, then he went through recovery.
So he would have
it. Must have been like months.
Months.
And odds are, normally they do surgeries like that in the off season. Yeah. So I'm assuming that there was months in between when they broke up.
Were they at the opening game? I can't even remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought that was just the LeBron hosting.
Yeah, so that must have been months. Yeah.
But Alex, I do agree with you. Some big trucks with speakers and drums.
The doof.
Flamethrowing guitar.
If Amy Schumer would have had a mechanical arm, this would have been a better movie. Mm.
Did you see the Conan O'Brien on his way to Comic-Con
thing? No.
They drive. Who's Conan O'Brien's sidekick? I can't remember the guy's name.
Damn it, Andy.
Yeah. Andy. I can't remember his last name.
I can't remember. I'm blanking.
But it's Andy driving, and he's got the mask on from what's the guy's name?
Joe.
Yeah. And Conan O'Brien is the doof on the back of this thing. And they like make a wrong turn in the desert, and they're like, "No, you gotta go this way."
It's pretty good.
It's amazing. And Andy tries to drink some coffee through the mask and dumps it all over himself. I looked that up on YouTube.
Chris Rock was on the set when LeBron James scenes were filmed, and he came up with several of the lines that James says in the film.
Chris Rock? Nice. I'd hang out with Chris Rock.
I like the...
my God. And Tilda Swinton? What? She looked like a woman.
Who's that?
Oh, she played the boss of the magazine.
I don't know. Who
Tilda Swinton is so good. Like she's
good, but she looks like you can't. Like there's a movie she's gonna be in. Damn, I need to look it up. But the character is a shit. Give me a minute because I need to look this up because I want to make sure I get it right. But yeah, Tilda Swinton is a very different look to her, and
she's
sort of
androgynous.
Very androgynous most of the time. She looked so feminine in this movie, I didn't recognize who it was. Like, she normally does not look at all feminine.
Maybe they did that because...
And she's very, like, almost albino pale. Very pale skin.
Is she known for being, like, aggressive? Because her character in the movie was kind of aggressive, right?
She plays different...
Oh, okay. She plays different roles.
Loved the boss.
She's a good actor.
She was funny.
Oh no, sweetie, you're fired.
Yeah, I thought you knew that.
You didn't get all this? I had no idea what was going on either. Like,
You could fuck the intern or punch them, but not both.
You could sleep with the underage intern or beat them up.
Oh. Just not together.
Oh, that was good.
When she's talking to her about her dad, she's like, oh... Are we still talking about this? Yeah. I'm over it.
That was a week ago.
Wasn't there somebody who came up and was talking about her?
Tilda Swinton was the old lady in Grand Budapest Hotel also. She was in old lady makeup. She was the old lady in that.
Holy crap, that's a big difference.
Yes. Yeah. She was in Constantine, although you may not
was
have
she?
Seen
here's,
that one.
Here's,
is that the movie where they fight
That those has Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, okay. And he goes to hell.
She plays... God, what is it Gabriel?
Yes.
She plays Gabriel, the angel.
Wow. Was she also in one of the Beverly Hills Cop movies? She looks like the tall blonde lady from the Beverly Hills Cop movie. The mastermind behind the crimes. I don't know.
I've never seen this movie.
No.
You've never seen Beverly Hills Cops?
Nope.
You need to fix that. Man, who put a banana in my tailpipe?
Oh, man. The
Eddie Murphy when he was really good.
Yeah,
but he was really solid.
The typical 80s music from those movies plays in my head constantly.
It's rumored that Tilda Swinton is going to play the Ancient One, which is the mentor of Doctor Strange in the Doctor Strange movie, the Marvel movie coming out about Doctor Strange. He's the Sorcerer Supreme of the Marvel Universe. She plays the Ancient One. The rumors are currently spinning around about whether she's going to play it as a man or a woman, because the Ancient One is typically an old man. But now they're like trying to figure out, I guess, will she play it as a man or a woman, or will it be fluid? Which I think would actually be really clever.
I mean, if it's an ancient one, yeah, why wouldn't it be fluid?
Yeah.
That's like people trying to assign a gender to their god. Like, unless it's like mapped out like in Hindu, that's pointless.
Right.
She played the White Witch in Chronicles of Narnia.
I haven't seen that.
Oh my god.
But would you like some Turkish delight?
I don't like that you know that.
I've read the book. I haven't seen the movie.
You've read the book?
Yeah.
This is so weird.
That's like,
right now.
That's like required reading.
You don't even... I've never read the book.
Well,
I wasn't required to read it.
I feel like I've talked about it. I feel like I've out-hipstered you on this one.
Touché.
Well.
Touché.
I don't get to do this
I didn't need to see the movie because I read the book.
Yeah. Speaking of books to movies, I'm still waiting on Lemony Snicket's Series of Unfortunate Events.
The book?
The movies.
Or the movie? The
movies that come out.
There's one movie, right?
Yeah. With Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Or is there supposed to be... Oh, because is there...
There's like 12 books.
Do you think they're going to make 12 movies?
I doubt it.
At this point,
I don't think so.
I think the first one flopped so much that...
All I know is that I can't wait to see The Martian.
I saw an ad for that on Facebook, and I was thinking about you and Adam.
The trailer is out, and it looks really good.
So I'm a nerd, and I'm worried that they're going to take the science away and make it actually. I haven't read the book, but I've heard the book is very sciencey.
Kinda. Because it's a glossed over science.
That one has Matt Damon, right?
Yeah, correct.
As the Martian.
Yeah. See, like they talk about. I know Adam talked about one of the big things that the guy has to overcome is turning the rocket fuel into water, and like I know how that works, so I was like excited to see them trying to do that in the movie. By the way, rocket fuel is just hydrogen and oxygen.
Right.
So that makes water. But, like, making that into a controlled burn is, like, rocket science, literally. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is rocket science. Yeah. I mean, they talk about how he does it, but it doesn't. I mean, it's not like they go super in-depth.
Yeah.
Because they also talk about how he cultivates the land and plants potatoes. It's not a way that you can learn how to do farming.
Yeah, it's so not it's, like an it's, agricultural.
Yeah, it's not an ag journal. It's not the farm reports. there's enough of it to keep it interesting, but it's also, I recommend reading the book. The book is solid. All the right. book is really good.
Is it on Google Play?
It should be. Andy Weir is the author, and it's just The Martian. The trailer looks really good for it, though. I mean, there's stuff that pretty much comes right out of the book. And the main character is kind of an asshole, which it's endearing, because if the character was boring, you couldn't stand with him for the whole book.
Okay.
Because it's Castaway, but on Mars.
It's Les Wilson.
Les Wilson, yeah. Which is good. That movie wasn't very good.
Wilson.
No, that movie wasn't very good.
I still think the best ending would have been for him to deliver that package and it's a satellite phone. That would have been amazing. That would have been the best thing ever.
Do they have satellite phones in the 80s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that movie was not made in
the
80s.
That was in the 90s.
Oh, that was in the 90s? It feels late like it was 90s. Older. I feel like maybe, like when I look at things, the 90s feels like a good time to me and the 80s feels like a shitty time. So anything that feels bad, I just push it back.
Shut up, Alex. The 80s was full of nothing but magic and cocaine.
Which is another word for magic.
Which is magic. It was just, all the coke was done in the 80s.
I was only there for about a year and a half.
And see, then the 90s came, and it was like everybody was down.
Everyone's coming down.
Then grunge happened. Mm. Grunge was the cocaine deficit.
Everyone coming down from all the cocaine.
It was the cocaine deficit of the early 90s.
That sequence of events makes sense, though.
I totally just made that up, but yeah, it really does kind of fit.
It's a fact now.
It's recorded. Like, what if aliens picked this
and
shit
up? And it will be on the internet.
Yeah. It will be on the internet, so we'll be there forever.
It's a fact.
Somebody should cite this and put it on Wikipedia.
Done. The origins of grind. Do the extreme deficit of cocaine after the binges of the 80s. Everyone was sad and moved to Seattle. The only clothes they had that they could find.
And married Courtney Love.
And shot themselves in the face.
Oh, good times. I got nothing else.
I don't. We can talk about more dumb shit from the 90s.
What if the last line in the Harry Potter series, the very last line at the very last book was, and then he woke up under the stairs?
Yeah.
That on Tumblr.
Either that or that Hogwarts is all just an asylum.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too. The theory that Hogwarts is all an asylum.
But J.K. Rowling is like a huge Twitter user, so like you could just ask her.
Oh, it's not.
She would tell you. Like, this it's
is
not.
Just this is yeah. just this is just people
spinning it in a new way.
I haven't checked to see if they have updated the unified Pixar theory with Inside Out yet.
Unified Pixar theory, that would be really difficult.
Have you not seen the unified Pixar theory?
No, but there's
somebody has mapped out a cohesive timeline, whereas all of Pixar is in one universe.
So,
and it's insane. but if you want to believe it, they make all the connections. And like they have like Boo from Monsters Inc. is the witch in Brave. and because you can go through those doors and end up anywhere. So they have her going back in time and becoming the witch. And then, like, what was it? I think they said that Bug's Life takes place during the upswing after the movie Up, where society's rebuilding. and they have this all worked out, like, where it all works. Cars, the whole Cars universe exists during the time when the humans have left Earth, during Up.
Or, it's not Up. WALL-E.
WALL-E. During WALL-E?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. During WALL-E.
That's good.
Yeah, and, like, and somebody's, like, put a lot of thought into this.
That's interesting. I'm gonna have to look this up. Is there a handy, like, diagram?
I don't know that there's a diagram. It's all mapped on a website. There's a website that lists it all out.
I'll have to look at that. That reminds me, we saw a preview for this movie. I can't remember what the movie was called, but it was about anthropomorphic creatures.
Zoo? No. Zoo is the... There's another one. I know which one you're talking about.
That piqued my interest. I don't know if it's...
The Disney movie? My biggest problem with the teaser trailer they've shown, they haven't told me a thing about what the movie's about. That's my biggest problem. It's like... You've laid out the world and you've kind of explained how your world works, but like, I know nothing about your characters or the movie or what the story is.
So that's the thing. Like, when I see the universe, I'm immediately interested. Maybe I'm a closet furry. Well, I'm not a closet anymore, I guess. I haven't thought about it.
The look on Kayla's face.
The look on... I don't know whose face... The look on which face I'm more disturbed by. The intense thought that Ashley put in it, or like the... What the fuck am I sleeping with looking on Kayla's face right now?
The anthropomorphic thing is... Like, that universe is very interesting to me. Also because one was a fox and one was a rabbit, which is Mine and Kayla's symbols.
PixarTheory.com.
Fucking A.
Oh, they've actually .com'd it now?
Yep.
That's not a surprise. It came off a blog somewhere, and then I'm not surprised. I'm mostly curious to see if they've updated it with...
They can update it.
That one would be easy to toss in there just because it's just a modern timeline. It could happen.
Yeah, really you anywhere. Can match the technology with...
I don't see the current movie in there, the new movie.
Yeah.
So,
I am kind of excited for Finding Dory, though.
Finding Dory.
It's the theaters are going to be filled with 18 and up. There's going to be no kids in those theaters at all. Opening day.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm going to be in line.
For Finding Dory?
Finding Dory. It's the sequel to Finding Nemo.
I figured that.
Oh, Dory was the blue short fish. Attention span fish.
Yep.
Angelfish? Mm. Is that what she was? I can't remember.
I don't think she was an angelfish.
Anyway. We need a sequel for...
The Incredibles.
No.
Yes, we do.
The Snowman. I saw a post online... That said, the best Fantastic Four movie was The Incredibles.
That was probably quoting me. That was probably quoting me at some point. Yeah.
And after I read that quote, I was like, "That's right.
It is absolutely right. Yeah. It is still the best Fantastic Four movie that's ever been made."
Yeah, we need a new movie for the snowman from Frozen. So he was the only thing that made that movie.
Olaf.
Okay for me.
Olaf.
Yeah.
No, Marshmallow.
Marshmallow.
The big one.
Oh yeah.
Because that is actually that snowman's name.
Marshmallow. That'd Marshmallow. Be fun too.
Just the two of them, a buddy cop movie.
Yeah. Just the...
the two of them and the...
It's like a Han Solo Chewbacca type relationship.
The family in that shack. The with the two gay dads and the kids in the hot tub in that shack.
Yeah.
Like if it was just that family and the two snowmen, so I'll buy a ticket.
Wow, somebody's YouTubed this.
YouTubed
the Pixar Theory.
Oh. I mean, that's good. Some of that stuff helps, like... The YouTubers that sum up the movies, like we watched one before The Avengers, that helped a lot.
Holden's been watching this series of YouTube videos. I think he said it's called Comic Storian, where they take comic book storylines and condense and retell them. So he's like learned a ton of comic book history in the last 6 months without having bought a single issue.
Well, if you think about it, that's really good because comic books have been out since the...
It's impossible.
40s or 50s?
There are 30s. So many of them.
Some have been out since 30s.
So, like, if you're really interested in the Batman or Superman lore, fuck. Like,
you're
what
screwed.
It's
impossible. It's hard.
You either have to find all those copies illegally online because you can't afford them all. Like, there's no way. Or you need somebody to condense them.
It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. If you're... The Marvel end is... They've actually made it really easy because you can do this Marvel Unlimited. You pay... Say it's I don't know the exact cost, $60-$100 a year, and you have their online digital library is just available to you.
See, that's reasonable.
Smart. That's smart. Yeah.
That's good job, Marvel.
And it's just and
I
it's
still
just,
hate your movies, but good job on that.
Yeah, it's just it's. By the way, Ant-Man was a lot better movie than Avengers.
Oh, did you see it?
I did.
Yeah.
Ant-Man was worth seeing. For you guys not being Marvel movie people, wait. Wait to see it on streaming somewhere.
But it depends on if you're.
But it's funny.
Make me review
it. Mark Ruffalo is good. He's solid and.
Mark Ruffalo is in it.
Was
it?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
I was like, really? Mark Ruffalo's
tired.
In this one too?
No, he's not in this one. Wait. No, he's not.
Well, I know it's like the same universe.
It's
right?
All the same universe.
Aren't they all gonna eventually like?
They are all gonna
touch tips.
Yep.
At some point.
I love that it's the same universe, but there's never any help from the other superheroes.
They did.
Crazy
they did
on.
Cross over a little bit with this one.
Yeah,
he needs to steal something, and this is not really a spoiler for anything, but he needs to steal something. So we need to go to one of Stark's old labs because that's where it was. So as he goes to the lab, they pull up. And it's like, wait a minute, this isn't abandoned, and it's got a big Avengers logo on it. It's the one we see at the very end of Avengers 2 where they're all training.
Oh.
So he's like, he thinks he's breaking into an abandoned lab, and it's not. It is not abandoned.
He's breaking into the most secure lab in all of the world.
It is not abandoned at all.
That's funny.
So there is a little bit of a crossover there.
I still think that Guardians of the Galaxy was probably the best Marvel movie I've ever seen.
That one was enjoyable.
Guardians is good.
I am such a huge Chris Pratt fan right now. Like,
yeah.
Nothing he
I know.
Does.
Jurassic World was just amazing.
Oh! We hated Jurassic World, loved Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt in Jurassic World was good. Jurassic World itself was terrible for
what's,
me.
So what's really funny to me is how many people love Jurassic World. Austin, I don't know if we are just skewed wrong. I don't know if we just broken.
Well, Austin is... Have you seen the original Jurassic Parks?
I used to. I own them. Or I used to own them before I moved.
I wonder if it's like a generational thing.
Tell us what you liked about Jurassic World.
Are we going to review Jurassic World now?
Yeah, fuck it. We'll talk about that next time.
That's a compelling
time too.
Point.
I don't know.
Your point is well made.
What did I like about Jurassic World? I like that the kids kind of just like escaped, you know, and went off on their own adventure, because that's what I would have done.
So he's seeing it from a completely different lens, which is good. It would have been good to have you here that night, because we were all like, fuck this movie.
So what did you think, because you went through this more recently than all of us have. What did you think about, I can't remember the boy's name anymore, the teenager's constant
douchebaggery?
Douchebaggery. Yeah, and the fact staring at girls and just being an idiot.
That part I didn't like. I mean,
okay, so you thought that wasn't realistic.
Hey, let him talk. You can't.
Objection, leading the witness.
That part I didn't like. I mean, you know, he had a girlfriend, you know, before he left. And then, you know, here he is checking out every single attractive girl that, you know, that walks by. I didn't like that part, you know. That's just kind of a moral thing for me.
He was established as a douchebag. Like,
yeah, he didn't care about his girlfriend
at all.
From
the very first scene you see him in, he's established as a douchebag.
If he would have just, you know, I would actually like the character a little more if, like, as they were leaving, he would have been just like, yeah, you know what, I think we're done.
I think
you know?
He was...
And like and just left her heartbroken and crying. It's like... That would have been a completely asshole thing to do, but I would have respected him and his wandering eye a whole lot more when he got to the island.
I think he was established as just, you know, this asshole douchebag in the beginning of the movie so that they could, they didn't do it very well, but so that they could, you know, make him the hero. You know, he saves his little brother from the dinosaurs, so you kind of, you know, develop this, I like him a little more.
You get the sense
more.
Of growth from him. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it wasn't done that well, but it was sort of there.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's funny because we agree. That's pretty much what we said.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
And we still didn't like.
Well, we had a lot of problems with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Which one was that?
The
she
girl.
The woman.
The woman.
Oh.
Just in general.
Constantly running heels. Her typical. I'm too busy for this world. I'm too busy for my nephew business.
These are
persona.
Assets.
Yeah,
the
unable
assets.
To see.
Secure the assets.
And
money.
Oh, have you heard the sequel is going to be about the weaponized dinosaurs?
Really? They killed that dude, though.
Well, but they saved the doctor.
Wait, there's a sequel?
They saved the Asian doctor.
Oh, yeah, because they saved the doctor.
Yeah, and he got on the helicopter with all the samples and stuff like that.
Sure. The Asian doctor that's been around since the first movie.
I can't do this again, man. I can't. We'll just record the podcast saying it's terrible. And
we'll
let's
right
just, you know what? Let's just review the trailers.
The dinosaurs not having feathers. And then they go
that's
into
how
the,
they were engineered, though, Alex.
But they go into the movie to explain, like, oh, well, we didn't know what the DNA was, so we just made stuff up. No, you fucking knew they had feathers!
Cue
like,
it up.
We know...
Kayla, cue it up.
You're a fucking nerd. My suit.
We need a soundboard.
We do.
Just to play
we
that.
Need that. Me and Adam need to make, like, a really solid, like... run at that and then we can record it.
Go into a studio.
Should we touch on this Ashley Madison business?
Oh, that's good. That's a current event.
That is yep. It currently happened.
So
I saw a billboard for it online.
You saw a billboard
online?
Okay,
so it was an advertisement. Like... yeah. I thought you saw a billboard for Ashley Madison in St. Louis. I was like, what the fuck?
Austin's been literally driving the information superhighway. And he saw a billboard for
Volkswagen.
It.
It's good in mileage. Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah.
The new Volkswagen goes everywhere. Well, you said it was 95? That is kind of the birth of the internet.
I mean, that's when AOL really started taking off.
Yeah.
You know?
That's when I joined AOL. Like 95, 96?
My parents were on it in 93.
93?
I was born in 97.
Oh. Yeah.
None of that surprises me.
I mean, the Ashley Madison thing, we talked about it a little bit the other day. I'm kind of torn. On the one hand, it's a breach of privacy. On the other hand...
Fuck those guys for cheating.
Yeah, it's people who... You know, it wasn't like they got drunk at a work party or something like that. It was they went out of their way, signed up for an account, and I don't know.
It's like, yeah, I'm in a moral dilemma about it because I know what I should be feeling about it, but I can't separate.
I'm of two minds, and like Julie and I talked about it a little bit earlier, and I said the fact is I don't feel bad for the people that are getting exposed. But the people that did it need to go to jail. The people that have hacked those systems and have released that information should go to jail because what they have done is a crime.
The likelihood of them getting caught is very low.
You're right.
Which makes me feel good. So,
but
I wasn't one of the guys.
I'm putting that really? Out there.
Alex isn't dumb enough to use his own email and name, like.
What? No, I mean I wasn't one of the hackers.
I thought you meant Ashley Madison.
Yeah, so my
Jesus Christ.
My biggest problem with the people that are getting caught doing this. Why the fuck are they using their own names? There are ways around bit of information of getting caught.
They have to use a credit card, right?
So no.
No? Can, I thought they had to pay for it or something.
You do have to pay for it, but there's still ways
around using your own personal credit card.
Right.
PayPal account.
I mean,
not even that. You can go to Walmart and buy a Visa
prepaid
card.
Credit card.
That's
true.
But I mean, those prepaid credit cards can't be used on some vendors, though. Some that might not work for that.
Kayla paid a rock star to make a song for me with one.
Well,
she's good at hiding things.
I am. making up stories about where the money's going.
Yeah.
To her Ashley Madison account.
I am very torn about this.
I looked up my parents' email addresses and phone numbers, and I was disappointed when they weren't on there. Can I say that?
Did you find the torrent? Did you download the torrent?
No, there's a website
that you can look up
to check it out.
There's a couple of them. I don't want to go in there and look because somebody said that those might be like phishing. Like they're
I put in my email address or my phone number.
Why would you need to, Alex?
I already know they're not on there. Is what I'm saying.
No, that isn't what you just said.
I wanted to see if my parents was on there, and if they get phishing, I don't care. Because fuck my parents. So
yeah. So that's. I mean, that's the danger is you fish for something like that and. They're going to capture those.
Right.
Then they could just publish them as, yeah, these people were on it because why morally do I have to worry about that?
The thing that I saw was some people were concerned because I think Barack Obama at whitehouse.gov was on there, but it was like people just signing up with fake accounts.
Sure.
Because I guess there was a way in the Ashley Madison sign up process to
sign
up
with. They don't ask to verify. They don't ask for email verification.
It was, you could put any email address in that you wanted, apparently. And
create a password. Right. Like most other websites ever.
Right. So I guess there are some humorous ones in the dump. I haven't looked at
it. Well, that's why, because there are allegations that Josh Duggar is on it. So when I was looking at it, the information that it is actually Josh Duggar and not somebody just using
that name.
It, like, there's a lot of it that matches up. So you do have to be careful, you're seeing this information.
Fair, really, of all the things Josh Duggar is accused of, cheating with another adult is really not.
It's like, yeah.
Well, grown-ups also, right. Good job. Yeah.
I guess if you take the average ages, no.
Nope.
He's looking for somebody outside the family.
You think Jared from Subway was on there?
No, not at all.
Too old for him?
Yeah.
I saw something that he hired prostitutes just so he could, like, use them to try and get information about finding somebody underage.
Mm-hmm. He did what do they call it? Predator vacations or whatever, where he went somewhere. Yeah, he pled guilty.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a city that's like super notorious for it. We watched a documentary about it.
I've heard of places in Asia.
Yeah. I can't remember
Thailand,
what it was.
I've heard that they have that.
Is it Thailand? The documentary follows a doctor from like Minnesota or some shit going to this place and like observes him like doing crazy illegal things. We watched this documentary together. It was on
supported
Netflix.
By NAMBLA, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. But the documentary, like, it's him busted and like he loses his license to practice and all that stuff.
That's disgusting.
And then the people who do the documentary also like get a bunch of places busted, which is good.
There are a bunch of people. I try not to read like the comments on stuff like this on Ashley Madison, like on articles about stuff like Ashley Madison. I try not to read the comments at all, but I do it too much.
You can't help it sometimes. Huh?
And because I'm so torn on it, I find myself doing it more. I'm trying to see what people are saying. And there are so many people jumping through so many hoops to try to justify the behavior of these people on Ashley Madison. Well, they're like, well, you don't necessarily know that they were cheating and blah blah blah. But it's like, that's literally what the site is built for. And they're like, well, they could be in open marriages, but they wouldn't need Ashley Madison. One person in an open marriage will be like, well, we used Ashley Madison, but then there's like 50 people in open marriages who are like, we never would use a place like Ashley Madison because we have very strict boundaries and we don't want to be in somebody else's affair.
Right, right.
And then, you know,
because anybody can make the arguments about why somebody could be on the site, but, I mean, the fact is you're using a site to cheat. Even if you're a single person who wants to be with a married person,
yeah,
you're still part of that relationship.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what the site is billed as.
Right.
You know, the company that owns this site also owns Cougar Life.
We saw a Cougar Life commercial watching TV with the kids last night.
They own another one.
Oh my god,
those commercials are really funny.
They are hilarious.
Yeah.
Like not hilarious because of how awkward they are or anything like that. These are legitimately funny commercials. Holy shit.
Yeah, like the cougar just like pushes the young single girl like out of the chair or something and sits down and he's just like, hey, you need someone older.
where the guy's like,
I buy you a drink.
That's what we saw. He's like, hey baby, let me buy you a drink. Push him out, let me buy you a drink.
I mean, Cougar Life, a part of me is like, get it. But another part of me is like, this is a little creepy.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with Cougar Life because it's consenting adults.
Consenting single adults, go for it. You know what? If everybody's happy in that relationship, more power to you. I care as little about that as I care about gay couples or open marriage couples or anything like that. You know, if everyone involved in those relationships is happy,
mm-hmm.
is not hurting anybody,
more power to you.
Go for it. Yeah. More people need to be happy in their relationships. There's too much of people not being happy in relationships going on.
And they're like, well, you don't know what's going on in their marriage. Like, what if their wife is frigid? I'm like, well, then they need to deal with that in their relationship. That doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, on the other hand, one of the things that Ashley Madison, the company, came out and said is, these are people who are breaking no laws. They're involved in legal activity.
Mm-hmm.
Not moral, but there's nothing, there's, and I haven't looked, but I'm pretty sure that it's not illegal
adultery.
In the United States to commit adultery.
But
adultery,
it is grounds for divorce.
It's grounds for divorce. It is, but it's not illegal.
It's illegal, no, but it's not illegal in the sense that you'll be arrested for it, but in civil law, you're forfeiting like everything, right? Like, because you, yeah, at least I'm pretty sure that's how it is still. Like, it used to be if you commit adultery in a marriage, like, you would get nothing in the divorce process.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about any of that.
Anyway, unless you're a man in the 50s or something, I don't know.
Or know the judge.
Also, people are mad because the hackers are calling out specifically men. They're saying these men deserve this, blah 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 blah. But they don't realize that statistic is 90 to 95% of the people on the website are men. Of the real people. Because I guess they have a huge scam
Oh, that's not
ratio.
Surprising.
Oh God, that that's I should have got in on that deal. That would have been a good fucking
make a
money
fake
making
profile.
Business.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they hire Ashley Madison. They're actually under. I think they're under some lawsuit where they. Because there's so many scams, so many scam profiles, and they're allegedly they hired like women to make profiles because you have to pay to message women.
90 to 95%. That those are some pretty shaky numbers.
That's what I read on the internet. I haven't like verified that, and I don't know how to verify it.
I'm curious about like the success rate for this website now. Like of the people signing up, do you think? How many? I wonder how many were like successful in
having an affair. I don't. It doesn't matter to me.
Because at 95%, that can't be good.
It doesn't matter to me. As soon as you signed up, you've already had the
affair.
Right. So
yeah.
I read an article on Vice. They did an article a while ago, actually, interviewing a man who was on Ashley Madison and asking him like his experience.
Was it done like anonymously, or did he say
anonymously?
Yeah. Oh.
And then they just released a new article where they got a hold of him and interviewed him. And he was like, I don't know anything about this. I stopped doing that. I learned my lesson. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. Like, I've stopped. I've learned the error of my ways. And he's like, first he's like, I thought about it and I learned the error of my ways. And then it comes out that one of his mistresses blackmailed him. And he got like this close to being found out by his wife. So that's the.
And now his information's been published.
Probably. But then you have to think if his wife will think to look.
I wonder if the hackers like tried to blackmail anybody who.
I don't know if that really happened or not. But
I don't think they were interested in that.
No, they seem to be more interested in that the company was doing shady shit and they didn't like the people that were on it, like. I mean, it's only a matter of time before another one of those websites pops up.
It was like, from them, it was, this company lied to you.
I don't think Ashley Madison's going away.
You don't think so?
I think it's going to
Because they released way more than just information about their, the users, the information about their, shit. I don't know enough about this stuff. I was reading about it. It's more stuff about their security and
like credit card numbers and stuff
about Ashley Madison itself. Like
about the company itself.
Right. They released a bunch of information about them that I was reading can completely take them down. Mm-hmm. Like, but
maybe it will.
If Ashley Madison goes away, another one's going to pop up. Like
that's just going to be wild.
Aren't there other ones that are already
like
out
Adult
there?
Friend Finder or something like? Ones that are less explicit about
J-Date.
Hot local singles in your area.
Right.
Blackpeoplemeet.com. Farmers only.
Farmers only.
Exactly.
Farmers only.
It's my favorite commercial ever.
Julie watches The Bachelor, and like a season or two ago, they had a guy that was a farmer. Like, so like every other week there was a Farmers Only commercial. It was so great. It's like, man, that is the best way to advertise.
City folk just don't get it. And they might be right. I don't. Like,
I really don't.
I don't get it.
I don't get it because like if you own a farm and you meet a farmer that also owns a farm, like how do you
combine your house?
Yeah,
I don't think that's what they're going for there.
Because well, you give away your daughter.
Yeah, cause it's
she
a
doesn't
dowry.
Come with a farm. She comes with a cow,
some pigs, chicken or two.
Oh my god! Oh, you reminded me of the old AT&T commercial or US Cellular commercial I saw where some guy claims he tried to order 200 oxen and instead he got 200 dachshunds. This is cell phone.
I think that's an upgrade.
Yeah, I would be fine with that, but it's like shows the dachshunds hooked up to a cart. Not able to do anything. And somebody else stampede and just a bunch of dachshund come running through this shot. Oh,
that's fantastic.
It's good. Look that up on YouTube, too. That's
YouTube, man. What a great website.
Yeah. YouTube, you should sponsor us. You can make a donation at SausageFest.
STL.com. Yep. Alex is getting into the game. He knows how it works.
Corporate sponsors. That's what we need to do.
Right now, for the next month and a half, it's all about sponsoring Sausage Fest. So, if people want to donate to that. That's where the money's going right now.
I should see if Ancira wants to donate. It's kind of a weird company. They might do it.
we'll put their logo on our flyers that go out at Archon. That's a $250 donation, but we'll do it. It's on the website.
I mean, they print money. Like, I don't know. Well, the only reason they might not want to is because it's...
And we have Alex on tape admitting he works for a company that literally
prints
literally
money.
Literally has been printing money.
Printing money.
I mean, we don't actually print money. They just get a lot of money from a lot of big fucking companies.
Well, it's a good cause, though.
Yeah.
Getting geeks drunk to donate to breast cancer.
They sponsored the breast cancer race, so.
Komen?
Was that it?
Race for the Cure? Oh, that's shady.
It was a couple months ago.
That's shady business.
That's why I didn't donate to it, because Komen, like, I'm kind of afraid of that. When you try to sue other charities, you're a dick. Like, your company's a dick company.
Yep.
I saw this infographic a while ago that showed, like, diseases and how much money is raised for awareness, and then, like, the diseases that are actually, like, killing people. Mm-hmm. And, like, breast cancer is, like, way high up there for how much money it gets. But there are all these other diseases that are, like,
Killing people a lot more.
Yeah. Ebola. Although we have a cure for that now.
Eh, that's not killing people. That's not killing people. I think
more like breast
cancer is.
It's not killing.
Specifically, like, other cancers.
It's not killing Americans.
Yeah.
It's not killing me.
Other cancers. Oh, yeah. There are other cancers.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
What's the bone cancer?
Leukemia.
Bone cancer.
Is that it? I don't know.
Leukemia is a... Yeah. Is that
blood.
That's a blood.
Oh. But leukemia is terrible.
They're all terrible, Alex.
all cancer.
Let's rank them by least terrible.
I've heard from a comedian that the longer it takes you to say the name of the cancer, the worse it is usually.
Seems like a valid source.
Yeah. He was doing stand-up in a cancer ward, and he was asking people what their cancer was, and someone said something, and it took like 15 seconds for them to say it all, and he's like, I don't know what that is, but that's got to be the worst.
Yeah. Cancer's so insidious. It's just so evil.
It's your own body killing you.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. It's your own body glitching.
But what's the what's the name of the...
The charitable organization we're donating
to?
It's Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
We kind of moved away from Susan, right?
Yeah, because the first 2 years we donated to Komen, and they were difficult to work with, because we are sausage fest. You know, the tagline of the website is putting our meat where the pink is.
It's a little irreverent.
It's just a bit,
slightly,
just a little. The great thing is though we after the first 2 years was also. It was around the time that Komen, like a lot of the news about how shady they were to other charities and the percentages of money that actually go to help people as opposed to build awareness. Now, admittedly, what we do is building awareness and we make a donation. So, you know, we collect money, we throw a party, we collect more money from the people at the party and donate that to charity.
Yep.
Komen collects money. Pays their staff. We don't pay anybody, by the way. I pay the post office for sending stuff. I pay the t-shirt guy for printing the t-shirts. I pay the glass guy for making the glasses. That's who I pay. I pay the people to make the sausage and the people to make the booze. The people who are volunteering don't get paid. No, that's the most benefit they get out of it is that I need people to help. So, and I rent 2 hotel rooms. So I let people stay in those rooms because they're helping. Because we're up till 3 a.m. And I'm not just going to, all right, you guys got to go now. So that's the most benefit they get out of it, is that they have a place to sleep while they're at the con. But like Komen, they pay their staff and then they have all this money that they spend to make more events to make money. Like this Race for the Cure stuff is just a process that just keeps making money to make more money.
Yeah.
And to pay their staff. And then they give some money to awareness. Arguably, they are building awareness because their events are huge. And so people know about them, so they're building awareness. People are kind of aware about breast cancer at this point.
What disturbs me is the amount of money getting thrown at it, and we don't have... Like, it doesn't feel like we've had as much progress as we should.
And, well, this organization and
that's why
is
I go to,
research.
And that's right. That's why I've changed. I did some research on the different organizations. And at the time, we even considered doing different kinds of cancers and stuff like that. But having one thing to focus on, so we're not changing every year. I mean, it's enough work without doing all that. Plus, the logo's already made. And
when we cure breast cancer, we'll move on to the next
one. Yeah.
When we cure breast... When
we personally...
When we use our sausage to penetrate cancer and kill it.
What the fuck?
We will fuck the shit out of cancer. Then we will move on to another kind. Maybe ass cancer.
I feel like I can know what I do to ass cancer.
Fuck it. Lick it.
Yeah. Or ball cancer. I
feel like testicular cancer is like the lowest of the cancers. Because I feel like if my testicles got chopped off...
Boom! Just take them off. Just... Yeah,
I feel like... All right, I'm a eunuch now. I don't have cancer. Like, that's the easiest cancer to cure.
I'm past the point when like my growth is going to be affected by all this. It's not, all that's taken care of. That's not really going to hurt me at this point. But yeah, so we went to Breast Cancer Research Foundation, and they do their numbers as far as the percentages of money that actually goes to research is real high up there. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they're like in the 90s of the percentage of money they take in, that like the family that started it was the family that is the family that started the company Estee Lauder, mm-hmm. the perfume company, because the matriarch of that family, either an older sister or the mother or somebody, had breast cancer. She just died a couple years ago, mm-hmm. And I don't know if she specifically died from breast cancer. But if not, it might have been complications of.
Yeah.
I mean, she's fought it on and off for a while. Plus, they, like, we told them, you know, we were very upfront. This is what we do. You know, we're called Sausage Fest, and we're going to be serving drinks. And they're like, okay, well, here's what you need to do. You know, we're very strict about this. You need to make sure that you use our name correctly in any of your communications. And you make sure you tell people what we do. We're going to send you some pamphlets and some rubber band bracelets so you can hand out the pamphlets and just learn about what we do. So when people ask you what we do, you can tell them you aren't informed when you tell them. So we're pretty serious about that's what you need to do. Like, really?
That's it?
Like Coma, we're like, yeah, don't use our name. Like don't tell people you're donating to us. Like, what?
So, yeah, that's
it. Right. I mean, it was just shady.
Yeah.
I didn't like it to the point where
we'll take your money.
Yeah, we'll take your money. Just don't tell people you're giving it to us. Okay.
All right.
Like, I've heard they actually threatened to sue people who said that they were this charity is for Susan Komen because they didn't want Komen, the Komen company, didn't want people to assume that they were that they had checked off on this.
And, oh yeah.
They approved of what they were doing. Where BCRF, they regularly, and these folks make a lot more money than we do, they regularly have these wine parties where, like, this group of women get together in New York City and they go to a bar and they have wine and they have a big party and they raise $20,000 for BCRF because one of the ladies in their social group had breast cancer and died from it. So they're doing it to support Maggie, and they all get together and they have drinks for Maggie, and then they'll sell dresses, or they'll do, you know, they do all this stuff. And half of them, because they post them on their website, half of them have to do with going out drinking. So it's like, I can relate to these people. This is awesome.
Maybe we should get one of them to guest star at Sausage Fest.
I'm kidding.
Come drink for sausage.
But yeah, we...
No, we don't do that. Maybe we should rethink.
That'll probably happen anyway. I'm kind of curious to see who's going to end up in tears by the end of the night, because normally it's somebody.
Oh, is it like a junior high...
Kind of.
So school social.
Somebody ends up drunk and
crying in the bathroom.
Again. Yeah. Got to get walked back to their room.
I love you, man.
That happened to me the first year. This guy I know, and he had like just turned 21. It was like his second time really seriously drinking ever. And he's like 6.5 feet, like 6'9", and he's just a big dude. And he got so drunk. Good God. like he went up to Adam and said, "I'm so jealous of you." No, that wasn't the. Maybe it was the first year. It was one. It was either the first year or the second year. He's like, "I'm so jealous of you, man." It's like, so Adam's like, "Okay." It's like, it's like arguably, I have a lot to be jealous about. I've got kind of a hot wife. I've got a good job. I'm doing well for myself. What are we talking about here? Oh, you're in your relationship with Tony. You guys are so close. What is even happening? Like, he told me about it later, and I'm like, I don't even know.
If I know Adam, he was probably like, you can also be close to Tony.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not exclusive.
No. We have an open relationship. It's fine. I let him go on Ashley Madison to find other friends. It's okay.
Did you know there's like 95% dudes on there? Like, it's good to find other friends.
You can find all kinds of friends. Apparently, they're all like-minded.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So we've been going at this for about 2 hours now.
Dang.
Damn.
We didn't even really get into the grocery stores again.
All right. Well, this is good.
Yep.
What are we doing for next? Well, we're not going to be here next
week. You guys aren't going to be here next week. We'll figure out something by the time you guys get back. I'll send out emails. We'll figure something out.
All right.
Hopefully it'll be something Netflix-ish so that it'll be easy for everybody to get to.
Maybe you can do your kids next week, right?
I'm going to try, yeah. Or if Daryl and Lena are available.
Yeah, that's good.
We can get a show going there. Nice thing is we've got a nice big group of people now.
We have a bigger pool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, people can't make it. Vacations happen. Sickness happens. Busy job. All right. We'll see you guys next time.